Good evening. I'll be your host this evening here on Outposts, a semi-live broadcast from the cascading banks of the Ocklawaha River, where the trees gently lean over the river's edge and every evening is pleasant. Outposts is a small cafe at the end of Old Field Road, nestled up against the big trees with a very gracious deck overlooking the river. This cafe is a business, a place of commercial transaction, thus the use of the phrase, it's a business. There is buying and selling, and hopefully enough money is made to sustain the jobs of those who work here. Let me pose a question to ponder here, though. Should a business model drive the house of the Lord? Or should the house of the Lord drive the business model? Should government drive God's house, or should God's house drive government? It is popular today to say, we are the head and not the tail, and everyone claps and cheers. I believe the statement is absolutely correct. But I also believe there is a responsibility that comes with being the head and not the tail, which many don't seem to want to grasp. If we are the head and not the tail, then maybe it could be said that we are the reason our government is like it is. The tail simply follows the lead of the head, and if we are the head and not the tail, then we are the ones who have set the precedence. In the Old Testament, as it went for the chief priest, so it went for the nation. We, the body, purge sinners from our congregations. Therefore, our government purges sinners too. We, the body, persecute those who don't look like us, and we see our government doing the same thing. Some of us call ourselves those called to teach, yet we're not pruning the vine with small, sharp shears and a well-honed knife with our hands gently immersed in the vine. We're pruning the vine with a club, beating the branches down. We're either pruning with a club, or we're posing moonbeams and merry-go-round doctrines of general well-being with very little word as to ownership of our actions and repentance. I think we should consider carefully that we have set the precedence with our behavior for how the nation goes. We complain about the nation's leadership. I believe God has simply given us leaders after our own heart. Want a partial vision about the heart of Christianity today? Look at the nation's leaders. They are like us. We have set the precedence. The church has commercialized the gospel, and it seems the rest of the world has followed our lead. If we want them to be different, then we should be different. Pretty tough words. And some pretty tough decisions are on our horizon also. Stay with me, lend me your ears, and I'll be right back. Thank you. The Christian conference industry is one of the fastest growing profit centers in Christian marketing history. Individual church members can't afford the retreats and camps for themselves or their children, but the people in leadership, many, never miss a conference. The world acts like the world and should surprise no one. But when believers act like the world, it sets poorly with everyone. Watch a TV commercial of any kind. We all know it's about the business. But when the gospel is commercialized in Christian commercials, there is something wrong with that. They try to make you think that by buying the latest Christian music album, you are going to have a closer relationship with Jesus. Or if you shop at a certain Christian store, God will speak to you. And if you shop somewhere else, well, just don't expect a visitation anytime soon. I saw a new Bible in the store the other day, and on it, in big letters, it said, autographed and authorized. I thought to myself, what super important person autographed it so as to increase its value, and under whose authorization? They sell church pins, Jesus t-shirts, gospelized coffee mugs, Jesus sandals, and in the church lobby fair trade coffee bar, Bible-based jewelry and inexpensive art. Some churches have their own smartphone app. Cool church names like Be or Live, with a band that's as hot as any professional show, complete with fog machines, a light show, fireworks, and a killer sound system. And let's not even talk about the commercialization of the birth of Christ. Great day, what a twisted, shop-crazy, consumer-slash-business-oriented event. So much so, even the world uses it to measure the future of business by how much money they made across the holidays of Thanksgiving and Christmas. Are we so wrapped up in the performance of church that we forgot to actually be the church? It seems many church marketing teams, and why a church needs a marketing team, I'll never know, target the young, the hip, and the healthy, and, of course, the resourced. What happened to the lame, the blind, the invalid, and hopeless? Or are they just a distraction? In Luke 11, there is a famous bit of scripture where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus who died, and everyone who knew Lazarus mourned his death. The entire event in Luke 11 is always spoken of with a certain seriousness and gravity. But there is not much which actually speaks of the moment when Lazarus was raised from the dead. So, let's do a giant fill-in-the-blank. In the commercialization of Jesus in our modern society, instead of us reading Luke 11, 30-45 in such a serious way, let's commercialize it all. It might go something like this. In the background, Peter and the disciples would be cooking on an upbeat, catchy, modern-day worship tune.
Can I count it off?
Go ahead.
1, 2, 3, 4. Get up,
get on up.
Get up,
get on up.
Get up,
get on up.
Stay on the scene.
The religious multitudes would be gathered wearing their smug faces. The young people, which is all who don't qualify as old people, are busy dancing, twitching, hands in the air, trying to be indifferent to the religious scowl of the older people. And then there are the Pharisees, senior leadership types who are all concerned about market share and are thinking how they could make a dollar off of all this. Regardless whether it all went well or not, maybe even more profitable if the miraculous didn't happen. Local church leaders would have had meetings on meetings on meetings, saying this entire affair could have all been easily arranged if Jesus had only been willing to confer with them and given them an outline of events that day where it would have been organized down to the minute. They could have taken some pictures, put out some signed copies of some teaching CD-DVD sets, but oh no, Jesus wouldn't play. Gah, what a rebel, muttering under their breath. Why did he come and disturb us? It was all good till he showed up. Suddenly, Jesus yells, Lazarus, come forth! The worship band comes to a halt. Peter and the disciples stop their jive. The people are holding their breath, sensing something amazing is about to happen. The clouds roll while the world seems to stand on the head of a pin. Suddenly, from the interior of the grave where Lazarus had been laid, all the people hear. With renewed vigor, the worship band is laying it down. Peter and the disciples cranking it out with an increased fury. People line up for cold drinks and snow cones with the face of Lazarus on the cup. Savior burgers are sold. Little trinkets of praying hands and religious hair gel are selling so fast the vendors run out. Church membership starts going out of sight. People give money. Children laugh, women cry, and men make plans for the next big event. Then comes the creme de la creme. The grave clothes of Lazarus are cut into 2-inch sections and sold as souvenirs. The strips being purported as miracle wrap, or the people are told that if they want to live under an open heaven, they should buy an entire foot of the grave wrappings. The church vendor yelling, who wants to live under an open heaven? Who will be the first to give $1,000 for the first 12 inches of a living dead man's grave clothes? Oh, and remember, all the profits will go towards the children and a new recreational wing for the church, fittingly named the Church of the Approximation, with pastors lukewarm and cash flow. Stop. What is wrong with this picture? Have we allowed business and commercial transaction to drive us to the brink of total corruption and spiritual insanity? What are we thinking? What happened to holiness? Where is honesty and truth followed by diligence and action? It sounds more like a circus and entertainment. How is it that the senior leadership in the church has been reduced to having their kingdom value measured by congregation size and having an actionable business model for financial well-being instead of their connectivity with God Almighty? Often, anyone in any sort of professional church leadership position is reduced to incessant surgical scrutiny. Their value is repeatedly assessed with regards to their effectiveness by the recorded and filed, color-coded folders labeled public opinion and complaints, and measured according to statistics for the purpose of hiring and firing. Something is really wrong with this picture, you think? Religion becomes mainstream, a trend, and commercialized, it easily is transformed into an advertisable, marketable craze, like Bling Church. It made Christianity into a brand, if you will, gutted it of faith, purpose, and meaning, left in a hollow ritual or two, called it religion and promised salvation with God trinkets to help people think they've actually got something going on. And all the while, the hopeless, sick, and dying multitudes are treated more as a distraction. Recently, I read an article addressing the commercialization of the gospel, saying, in their self-proclaimed quest for an explosive and phenomenal movement of God, something you have to see to believe, they missed Jesus when he was right under their nose. In Mark 2:4, was the paralytic man who was lowered from the rooftop in the middle of a sermon a distraction? Was the woman with an issue of blood in Luke 8:43 a distraction? Were the blind men of Matthew 9:27 and 28, who annoyed the crowd with their relentless cries, were they a distraction? Jesus didn't think so. In fact, he seemed to think they were the point. I suppose then, what or who is the focal point of the commercialization of Jesus and the gospel? Is it God, or is it ourselves? If we're the head and not the tail, and the tail is going to follow our lead, then it seems good to me that we should start to be very, very honest about our focus and intent. If we want our government and the rest of the world to be different, then we must be different first. You know, us being the head and not the tail and all. Who or what, indeed, is our focus? God or ourselves? 2 Corinthians 4:18. For we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. We have a choice as to what or who we focus our lives and attention on. I hope it's not true, but I suspect it could be. But it seems much of modern churchianity brings a bit of Hollywood into their sanctuary in order to keep the people coming. Maybe I'm really off-center, but it seems to me Christ is the focus, not being entertained. Whenever the focus is pointing to us instead of God, you can be assured the devil has some involvement in those thoughts. As long as we are focusing on ourselves, worried more about people being bored than making the Lord the focus, we are not focusing on God. We have to make a choice: God or ourselves. Recently, I heard, again, of someone selling kingdom benefits. Small prophecies for $50, large ones for $100, deliverances for a suggested required donation of $40, and the next one is a half-price special. No kidding. Actually. There is absolutely nothing wrong with artists selling their art, musicians making records, ministers of the gospel being paid. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the commercialization of the gospel. So, next quarter, will the price of prophecies and deliverances go up or down according to the ability of people to pay? And seeing as how, with the commercialized gospel, it appears we are reduced to buying a commodity, I suppose some quality control would have to come into the picture. Who's going to come up with the list of values so as to assess if the quality of the gospel is up to par? What will the qualifications be for the person doing the assessing? For surely it's a very subjective task, with passing or failing grades assigned by the assessor. Who is going to enforce those rules, and what will the penalties be for rule breakers? You know, commercializing and merchandising the gospel gets ugly, especially in a commercializing society where virtually everything and everyone seems to be for sale. In Luke 4, the devil figured Jesus could be bought. but the Lord was having none of it. Can your Christian values be bought with the cute wiggly girl, a handsome, confident young man, the allure of wealth or titles? I and my family are not for sale. We will not be bought, and we will not be sold. Jesus paid the price once for all, and it is done, never needing to be repeated, ever. I like real-life relationships with honest, diligent people with good boundaries, who love God and are involved with His preferences and standards. I haven't got the heart to be an all-tricked-out Christian. How about you? Think about it. Matthew 10:7-8. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. I'm Social Porter, and this production of Cool Jazz and Late Evening Contemplative Conversation was brought to you by Living in His Name Ministries, Area 22 Guitars, Arnold Dotson of Dotson Plumbing, Lizzie and Peeler Rumfelt, Velma Harrell at Harrell's Supermarket, Michael McGee, Tony McDowell, and the ever-diligent Dan Waddell. And lest I forget, check out Trinity Bakers on South Main, where there's always something good in the oven. Music was by the Pete Minger Quartet, Coleman Hawkins, the Yellow Jackets, Lee Morgan, and Joe Sample. All music use is licensed by BMI. So here's the question of the week. Did God speak to you? And exactly what did He say? Not what you wish He'd say. Not what He might have said, if only. But what precisely did He say? And He is talking to us. And if you don't know, friend, it's okay to say, I don't know. Humility goes before honor, you know. If He's speaking to us, let us be diligent to hear, understand Him, and take action. Believing God is the action part of faith. Faith is a noun, and believing is the verb derivative. It is the action part of confession and profession. Believing is more than giving value to church doctrines or articles of faith. Faith without action is, well, just circling around, caught in the spiraling dream of what might be and what could have been if only. Make your faith a reality. Believe God and take action. Drive carefully, Pray diligently, cause God really does hear you. Be strong and courageous, and we'll meet again on the trail of the Lonesome Pine. Mm-hmm.